And then it'll be right up there for you. And just so you know, I'm recording these classes now. So that if someone misses, then they can go back online and listen to it.
516.
You have a question?
No.
Oh, yes. Once everyone gets there, I'll have you read. You can read verses 17 through 20.
Are you recording right now?
I am. So the whole internet's gonna hear your voice now.
But you're gonna post it on, like...
Like on the church YouTube. Website.
Oh, just don't like
the church website.
Or someone can steal your identity.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Olivia, okay. Verse. Can you start reading, please? Thank
you. The fulfillment of the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least, nor the least stroke of a pen will be any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments of teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachings of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to read? All right, go 21 through 26.
Anyone who says to his brother,
Raka, yeah,
is in word
answerable to the Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin,
yeah.
But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quick with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
Okay, there. I wanted to make a note real quick at verse 23 and 24. It says, if you come to the altar of God and remember that you have something against your brother, what does it say to do? Before going and offering your gift at the altar of God. And do what? Go and be reconciled.
Go talk to him and forgive him.
Go talk to the person you have a problem with, right? And forgive each other, right? And then come and God will, then come to the altar and offer your gift to God. And, you know, Jesus says that here, but we also understand that as we first reconcile with those we have differences with before coming to the Lord's Supper, too. Right? So let me just scooch past some of these. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Does anyone want to read? All right, and then you get the next one, okay? So read that an eye for an eye section.
You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and touch for touch. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the back, the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you to take your
tunic,
let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asked you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you.
All right. Can you read that last section?
Yes. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I will tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do you not only pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Okay. All right. So, summarize all that, right, into four sentences. Actually, you can do it in one sentence.
I said.
What'd you say? Do you need some help? You said, do what God has commanded, otherwise something's going to happen. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. Right? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so, do what God has commanded is kind of what is a good summary right there, that phrase. In the text, that last verse that we read is also a really good summary. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Right? Because ultimately in these texts, it's saying, What are some things that we find in here that we kind of know from the Ten Commandments? Right? That first section, it says, you've heard it said, do not murder. Right? So which commandment is that? The fifth commandment. Right? And so, but Jesus is saying, well, it's not just don't murder. Right? But anyone who's angry with his brother, anyone who's angry with somebody, commits murder, right? So Jesus, people think of the law in this one way. It's like, oh, well, I just don't have to kill anybody. But then Jesus takes it one step further. Okay. Now, same is said about, adultery, If you look at a woman lustfully, then you commit adultery in your heart. You know, with divorce, he takes it one step further. With oaths, he takes it one step further. The whole eye for an eye thing, he takes it one step further. The love your enemies, he takes it one step further. And so what is Jesus trying to prove here?
What if you get divorced and you get married again? Is that committing adultery?
Well, it depends on the situation. Each situation is different, right? So here it says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, right? So it depends on the situation, right? That's taken on a case-by-case basis, usually, right? But ultimately, we can say that divorce isn't how God made us to be in our families, right? That's not how God designed it to be. And so there's obviously grace and forgiveness, right, for that, right? Well, I guess that's kind of the point of what Jesus is getting at here, is ultimately, he says, here's the law, you've heard it said, and then takes it one step further. What do you think Jesus is trying to say? Let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus expects you to keep this perfectly?
No.
Does he want you to?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. But he knows you can't, right? So that's where, these are all, these commandments are given from the law, right? And what's the law?
The gospel.
No, law is not the gospel. God's word. So it's like what God tells us to do. Right? And so what's an example of the law?
The Ten Commandments.
Right. So you have the Ten Commandments, right? And so it's a list of what you do and what you don't do.
Wait, would Moses building the ark be laws?
Noah built the ark. But whenever God told Noah to build the ark, I guess you could say that. But that's not necessarily a law that he gives for all of mankind, right? It's just something he tells Noah to do, not necessarily us. Unless you want to start building an ark in your backyard because it seems to never stop raining. So, it might not be such a bad idea, I guess.
Although Papa was glad for the rain because all the ponds are down and everything.
Yeah, we definitely have been needing it, that's for sure.
We were almost under a burn.
Yeah, Tatum.
Okay, so technically, isn't everyone perfect in God's image?
Okay, but why can you say that?
Because he made us and he's perfect.
Because who's perfect? Who's he?
God and Jesus.
Jesus is perfect, right? And without Jesus, are we perfect?
No.
But with Jesus, are we perfect?
Yes.
Why?
Because he
died for our sins, right? He's perfect, and he gives us his perfection, right? So
my teachers say sometimes, you're not perfect. Everyone's human, and so.
Right.
So technically, everyone is perfect.
Well, only insofar as you have Jesus, right? Because Jesus makes you perfect, but we're not perfect in and of ourselves.
We're perfect in God's image.
We're perfect in God's image, but we only have God's image if we have Jesus. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah.
If Satan didn't have come into our lives, would we have sinned?
The answer would probably be no, because he never would have tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, right? And so, but we'll get there, okay? But the short answer is no. If we had no tempter, no one fell into sin ever, then yeah, we would be perfect and righteous and according to God, God's eyes, right? But let's answer this first question, okay? So what is righteousness? So this first little bit talks about righteousness. The verse 20 of chapter 5 says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Okay? So to get to heaven, our righteousness needs to surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. But what is righteousness?
I don't know.
What does it look like?
I don't remember what I put on my paper because I wrote it down 2 weeks.
Righteousness kind of sounds like forgiveness to me, but it's not.
But it's not. That's correct. Let's see. Yeah, okay, so Emmett, you got it. Do you remember what you said? You said, to what is righteousness? You had fulfillment of the law, right?
What did I put again?
You put righteousness is the teaching of the law, which is true, but then also the doing of the law. Mm. Okay. And then, so Gavin, you had the quality of being right or justifiable, which you're on the right track, right? So it's like righteousness is... You have the Ten Commandments, and you do them perfectly, right? That would be a righteous person. That person has righteousness. So no one's righteous.
Yeah. Correct. Jesus.
Except
Jesus.
All right, so you're catching on. So, next question. What does it mean that Jesus came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them? What does it mean that Jesus came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them?
I didn't get
this one's a little bit harder. Okay. So I have a kind of a sarcastic question for you guys. What's the difference between Jesus and everybody else?
He's perfect ruler.
Yeah, he's perfect. He does
he's
what he's
ruler.
Told. He does what he's told, right?
He's
you know?
My favorite.
And Jesus rides donkeys.
That's true. Jesus does ride donkeys. And I've never ridden a donkey, so there's that.
I have.
Also, he
ran
off with me.
And also, he walks off
with me.
Yeah. All right. So what this means then is that Jesus didn't want to do away with God's law. It's not as if... Here, let me draw this out now. Okay. So, this is us, and this is Jesus. Okay? What do we have?
Nothing.
Okay? Sin, right? Sin. And we don't have righteousness, but we have...
Forgiveness.
Well, it's another word for sin.
Repentance.
Unrighteousness.
Oh.
Right? We have unrighteousness. Okay?
You
should have
guessed that.
And so we desire things that go against God, right?
Wait, what does that mean?
Like things that aren't.
Like you know how God gives us the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. right? And that's what He wants us to do, and we don't do that, so we go against God. Okay, so we do things we want to do, not necessarily what God wants to do. Okay, so.
So it's basically like you're backing out of the deal. Not the deal.
Well, yeah. Well, right. So it's like you're trying to make yourself your own God and saying, I don't want you to be my God. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell myself what to do. Right? And so this is us. We have sin. We have unrighteousness. This is Jesus. What does he have?
Forgiveness.
Righteousness and
eternal life.
Perfectness.
Righteousness.
Eternal life.
Eternal life.
Perfection.
Everyone has eternal life.
No.
Eternal life.
The throne.
Bingo,
we have eternal life.
True. But, okay, so he has righteousness, he has perfection, eternal life. We'll put holiness up here, right?
What about this throne?
And, well, certainly he sits on the throne, right? And we're he has holiness, but we have what? What's the opposite of holiness? Unholiness.
I got something for Jesus.
We're, so, to be unholy means to be dirty, to be nasty, to have dirty rags for clothes instead of a beautiful white glowing cloak kind of thing, right?
No, it's got to be purple.
Well, sure, it can be purple too, right?
I know what
becomes purple.
Okay, so ultimately, Jesus has righteousness, and we have
unrighteousness,
right? And so, so there's the. How does righteousness get to us?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, through Jesus, okay? So whenever Jesus became, you know, he was in heaven, he became incarnate, right? Which means that God became man, he became flesh. And in Scripture it says that he bore our sins and iniquities, right? So that's, so our sins, our iniquities, these are all words which also mean unholiness, unrighteousness, right? So he takes all this away from us and puts it on himself, right? So now he has unrighteousness,
unholiness,
sin,
iniquity.
And so he has all that stuff. Not because it's his, but this is what's... I'll teach you a fancy word. It's called imputed. Okay? So our unrighteousness is imputed to Jesus. Okay? So he's carrying it around.
But it's like transferred.
So it's like transferred. Yeah, it's transferred over to Jesus. Okay? And how does he get rid of this... right, unrighteousness, unholiness, and sin that he now has and that he now bears?
Because
how does he get rid of it?
He kills the devil.
He goos him.
Well, okay, so...
He
dies on the cross.
And
right?
He goes into hell to kill
to
the
defeat.
Well, he doesn't kill the devil.
He defeats.
But he strips the devil of any power that he could ever have.
How does he do that?
By dying on the cross, right? So,
yeah.
So because this is what Satan wants us to have, right? He wants us to have sin. He wants us to have unrighteousness, unholiness, iniquities. You know, he wants us to be rebellious against God, right? And all the punishment that would come there. You know how, like, if you're rebellious against your mom and dad, right? And there's, you might get a spanking or something like that, right? There's punishment for your actions, right? Same with, you know, with God, right? There's punishment for actions, but Jesus takes on all this punishment on the cross. So he gets rid of it, right? So this unrighteousness, unholiness, and sin is no longer yours. And it's taken care of through the cross. Question.
Why does Satan want us to have sin still?
Because this is what... we can't have these things and have a relationship with God. Okay? I see where your mind's going. We'll get there. Okay? So, the punishment for all this has been paid. This is no longer ours. We don't have it anymore. Our sin, or the punishment of our sin, I should say, is no longer ours, right? Okay? So punishment, our sins, we no longer have to pay for. But Jesus has paid for it through the cross. And so that goes away. That's what forgiveness is, right? And so now Jesus, all he has is righteousness, all he has is holiness, all he has is perfection and eternal life. And so now that we've gotten rid of our unholiness, our unrighteousness, our imperfections, and eternal death that we've earned for ourselves, what does he do? He gives it to us. He imputes his righteousness over to us. He transfers his righteousness over to us. So now we have his righteousness, his holiness, his perfection.
And we have eternal life.
Jesus has care in us.
Right, yeah, kindness and all that kind of stuff, right? And so how did all this happen?
Imputed.
Don't think too hard.
He died on the
cross. Jesus.
Through the cross, right? Through the cross, he defeated sin, death, and the devil. But then he gives these benefits of holiness, righteousness, perfection, and eternal life to us by rising from the dead. And where do we? Where did you receive Christ?
Baptism.
Yes, baptism. Right. So by baptism is how Christ's righteousness comes to you. What else?
Go to church.
Why? For communion. Okay. So we have communion. And then what else?
Baptism.
You, well, different con word.
Confession.
Confession, right.
Confession and absolution.
Confession and absolution. And what do we call these things?
Repentance.
The means of
grace.
Yeah, these are all called the means of grace. So, through the means of grace, these things which properly belong to Jesus come and are transferred or imputed over to us. Okay? And so now these things become ours. And so now, whenever the Father says, or whenever Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, we can do that. Right? Right? Not because of anything we've done.
But because of Jesus.
But because of Jesus. Because of?
Dying on the cross.
Yeah, because he died on the cross, right? Because our sins were imputed to him, and his righteousness was imputed to us. I'm getting a few blank stares. Please ask questions.
What? What?
Any questions? You got it?
Yeah.
All I've got no questions.
It's you're basically just saying that we sin and God forgives us. Well, we sin, God gets all of our sinfulness, he forgives us, and then we get good stuff.
Yeah, and we get good stuff, right.
Good stuff.
Exactly. And that's...
I don't understand your cup. Is that about the means of grace?
It can be. But we'll talk about that after class. All right. All right.
I'll take some grace, make it a double.
All right. So let's go on to the next question. What is God's view of the law and how to... Well, we kind of talked about it already. So God wants us to keep the law perfectly, right?
Yeah.
And how does Jesus fulfill the law?
He fulfills the law by coming and... dying on the cross and defeating the devil.
Right, by doing that, but that's not necessarily, that's an act of God's grace, an act of God's gospel, but the law. So let me ask you, did Jesus ever hate anyone?
No, never.
Did Jesus ever look at a woman lustfully in his heart?
No.
Well, Jesus never married, right? So he couldn't have gotten divorced. Whenever Jesus said things, did he mean what he said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like his promises.
Right. If somebody hurt Jesus, did he retaliate with anger and vengeance?
No.
He forgave them.
What about Adam and Eve? He did retaliate with vengeance.
Well, we're talking about Jesus now.
Oh,
right? And he didn't retaliate with vengeance. What he did was give them punishment.
Oh, Pastor, okay. If Jesus went and killed the devil, doesn't that mean he committed murder?
Well, he didn't kill the devil.
But
he stripped the devil.
He hurt the devil, then that's murder.
Well, he didn't. So, what Jesus did with the devil is
it's different.
It is different, right? So it's not as if... Well, let me ask you this. Does Jesus and the devil, are they on the same playing grounds? Are they this... No. Why? Because God's way up here, right?
Yeah.
and a double's like way down here.
Like,
yeah, like way down here, right?
That hurts.
And so the devil stands no chance, right? So what all Satan is basically, you know angel, what an angel is, right? So Satan is only an angel, except that once
he can rule himself.
Who thinks he can rule himself? That's a good way to put it. Who thinks he's his own God, right? Who basically is, you imagine like what a bad human being looks like, you know, imagine like Hitler, but like in angel form.
Who's Hitler?
Right.
He's the first.
All right, we'll stop there. Okay, you can ask your dad later. All right, let's go on. Do you have a question?
I hope you learn about Hitler's school without.
Yeah, I don't know.
We do learn.
He's
about
the reason World War
II
happened.
Have you ever watched Percy?
Oh,
I have. All right.
Okay, so
I don't know.
Okay,
we talked
about
how things like. I don't know
where
who y'all talking
about. Where Hades is? Where bad things happen?
Hades.
Yeah.
Hades. Wait,
I haven't seen that, but
Pastor.
I believe you. That makes sense. Yeah.
Wasn't the devil an angel?
Yeah.
What
was
the
devil's
like the
name whenever
angel.
He was an angel?
Satan.
What was his name?
He was the
Saint,
top angel.
Saint
like up there.
I don't remember. There is a name, but I don't remember off my head, actually. All right, we can talk about Satan after class. We need to get through these questions. All right. So, let's go on to the other side.
More.
All right, so what was the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and why is this righteousness inadequate to get into heaven? So this takes a little bit of foreknowledge to get this right.
Well, the scribes and the Pharisees thought they were perfect, and you can't think you're perfect. You have to repent.
That's right.
No, you're not perfect, and ask for forgiveness.
That's right.
Wait, weren't scribes... like note takers in
Pharisees? Kind of. So they didn't have like printing presses like we do, and copiers and stuff like that. The scribes, right? Who would, write it down word
like
for word.
Like messenger boys.
Kind of. But they knew scriptures really well. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. They thought of themselves as perfect. They thought of themselves as, well, I've done all the Ten Commandments, right? And I've kept it perfectly. And so, they were pretty good guys, right? They were pretty righteous dudes, right? They didn't really sin against anybody. They had a good reputation. They weren't very, very good at loving outside of themselves. They were good at loving themselves because they were so self-righteous. But nonetheless, Jesus says, your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. So how can we do that?
We can repent and ask for forgiveness.
And receive.
Receive God's gifts.
Receive.
And specifically receive whose righteousness?
Jesus's.
Right? We just showed how Jesus has righteousness and that he imputes it over to us.
Yeah.
Jesus is trying to say, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is imperfect, but you have to have a perfect righteousness. And that righteousness comes only from Jesus coming over to you. Right? Does that make sense? All right. Ultimately the scribes and Pharisees' righteousness is inadequate to get into heaven. Why?
Because they thought they were perfect, but they weren't.
Correct. They weren't perfect. Alright, next question. Whose righteousness meets God's requirements?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Me.
Jesus, right? Yeah, Jesus' righteousness meets God's requirements. Right?
So Jesus and God are the same people.
No, Jesus and God is the same people.
Also, but
he gets so
he makes it here.
So okay, so
he gets his own requirements.
Yes.
Okay.
He meets his own requirements. Okay. That's a good way to view it. Okay, so let me just you asked the question, so I just want to make sure, okay?
Because a bunch of people at school say they're different people.
Yeah, right. So God the Father, so in Jesus' time, you have Jesus on earth, okay? And then in heaven, right?
Jesus is there simultaneously too.
Well, I don't think we can necessarily say that, right? So you have the Father, right? And whenever we think of the Father, we think of, someone we can't really see. Right? Kind of someone that is up in the sky, up in heaven, that we don't really encounter with here on earth. And then you have the Holy Spirit.
Which is the bridge between earth and heaven.
Right. We don't really see the Holy Spirit either, but it's God too, but how he interacts, between God and man, right? And then ultimately we have here Jesus, who is God
and the Holy Spirit.
God
the Son.
Yeah, he's God the Son, and he has
limbs, body.
Yeah, a body, right? He has a body, right? And so we know that God is, what's God's name?
The Father.
The Son,
Holy Spirit.
Okay.
The Trinity,
right, exactly. And so we have Father in heaven, right? We have Son completely in this person, right? So it's God completely in a body, right? True God and true man, okay? And then we have Holy Spirit.
So how can they be the same exact people at different places?
How are you saying?
Because you said that God is Jesus.
Yes.
And isn't the Father God?
Yes.
And Jesus is on the ground?
Yes.
So how can they both be in different places, but there's only one of them?
Yes.
It's three different.
We can't understand it. Okay. But Scripture tells us that Father is God, Son is God, and Holy Spirit is God. But are there three different gods?
No.
No, but there's
one
God, right? So we don't understand how that works, right?
It's too complex for us to comprehend.
Well, I can give you some philosophical distinctions, but I really don't think you'll understand
it. I got it.
You got it?
I think he put his mind in different places.
Not just his mind, but his whole being, right? It's everything of who God is, right? And so, you have a question?
Does Father have a, form?
Not a material form like how we have material.
Yeah, but looks and, I don't say physical form.
Does he look like something?
Yeah, what
does it? In Scripture, yes and no. It says, in Scripture it says you cannot see God's face and live. And whenever it's talking about who that is, that's talking about the Father. You can't see the Father's face and live. And that was the revolutionary thing about Jesus being God, is because it's like, well, I can see your face, and yet I'm living, so this is weird, right? And so, but yes, the Father is described in Scripture as kind of having some human parts, But we wouldn't say that he has flesh and blood. He's not a body. He doesn't have a face quite like ours. We don't really understand how he has a face.
What?
God made us in his image, so we have to look, like, not exactly, like him, but mostly.
So whenever we talk about in his image, the question is, does image mean like a body? Or does image mean that he loves perfectly, right? That he has holiness and not unholiness. That he has righteousness and not unrighteousness. That he has love and not hate, right? And so that's kind of more along the lines of what the image of God entails. So we would say, actually, that whenever we sin, we lose the image of God, but it's restored to us once we're baptized into Christ. Because we receive Christ's righteousness and holiness, right? Through baptism, through communion, through confession and absolution. So now we have the image of God restored back to us. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So it's not an image like a picture, but it's more of like a...
expectation.
An expectation, yes. Of who he is, who you were created to be. Right? You're created to be loving and righteous and holy. But we screwed that up. Well, Adam screwed it up and we kind of followed suit, right?
No.
Okay, so Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
God spoke to Adam and Eve. So did they not see anything when God was speaking to them?
Okay. You're asking really good questions, and we'll talk about it, but I just want to answer it quickly. Whenever Jesus, or whenever God, in Genesis, it says that God was walking in the garden, many people think that that was Jesus, and I would agree, okay? So, whenever Jesus... So I would say that Jesus was interacting with Adam and Eve in the garden.
But back then he wasn't born a man, so he was like God.
Right.
Complete God, not man yet.
Yes, right. So we would say that this is like the pre-incarnate Jesus. So we say Jesus is incarnate when? Born of the Virgin
Mary.
So Jesus becomes incarnate by being born of the Virgin Mary. Okay, this is getting really philosophical and stuff like that. So let's move on. Okay. this is you're asking great questions, but I think this is over your head a little bit. But you guys are like asking the right questions though, which is kind of like blowing my mind right now.
Because if you talk and tell us about this, we come up with really great prep questions.
That's true. All right, so question. How do you receive Christ's righteousness?
We receive Christ's righteousness through baptism, communion, and confession and absolution.
You nailed it.
Good job, Gavin.
All right, so in... Verse 48, it says, you shall be perfect just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So is that referred to you keeping a list of commandments? Or does that mean you living by faith in the righteousness of Christ? Allison, what do you think?
I had a very different question.
Here, how about you answer my question, then I'll let you ask your question.
What was the question again?
Okay. So it says in verse 48, you shall be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Okay. So does that verse refer to you being perfect and keeping a list of God's commandments? Or is that verse referring to you living by faith and receiving Christ's righteousness? How are you saved? By what you do or by what Jesus does?
By what Jesus does.
By what Jesus does. Yes, ma'am.
Because Jesus is the one that died on the cross and
saved us,
not us.
That's right. All right. So ultimately, what does this teach us about the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th commandments?
That,
Here, Olivia, can you answer this one?
What?
What does this parable teach us, or what does this scripture teach us about the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th commandments? Or the commandments in general?
I can't remember what I put down.
Let's see, you said... It teaches us to follow the 4th through 8th commandments as God has commanded. That's true. But ultimately, do you keep them?
No.
No. And so you need?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. You need Jesus. You need His righteousness. His obedience to the commandments. Okay? All right. You have your question?
I have two.
All right, what's your question?
These are really big questions. Was it just a white or black void before God made the heavens and the earth?
It just says dark void. There was no...
Okay.
And
who made God or Jesus?
God was just
no one.
There.
God was just there. He's eternal. Do you know what eternal means?
Everything. Ever living.
Yeah, ever living, right? So there's no beginning to him and there's no end to him.
Yeah, like... Why?
Because
he could be 1 billion years old.
Well, but he's even older. He's outside of even a billion years old, because a billion years old, there's a beginning and end to a billion, isn't there?
I only know a billion. That's how
I
go.
A trillion.
There's a quadrillion. There's a zillion. Yeah, right. So with all those numbers, there's a beginning and there's an end, isn't there?
Infinity never ends.
Yes, they
are.
All right.
Infinity.
That's right.
Yeah,
are you still recording?
I am still recording.
That's not good.
You should really stop there.
Satan's name is Lucifer.
Lucifer, thank you. That was bugging me. Yeah. Which means the bearer of light, actually, is what that means.
Yeah, Lucifer. Yeah.
All right.
That's the cat.
All right. Let's, before we pray.
Okay.
All right. It's just where I keep everything. All right. Here's lesson 3 for you guys.
Okay.
All right. So have this done next time. Okay. Put some effort into it. And life will be great.
Whoa. Why is there? Wait.
It's because you didn't print it on the back.
Yeah, I forgot to print it on the back. I'm sorry.
Paper, huh?
Yeah.
Don't you
killing tree?
Sorry, guys.
Tree, Pastor.
Yeah.
You know the cat from Cinderella, Lucifer?
No.
I don't. I haven't seen Cinderella in a long time. All right, let's pray. Can I have someone, does someone want to volunteer to pray?
I've already gone, and Olivia has already gone.
You didn't go.
I have.
Oh, dude, I've been keeping track. You didn't go.
Okay.
She can go.
All right.
I'll close it out.
Anybody have any prayer requests?
Or you said Gavin was going to go, but he never did, and Olivia went last week.
No, we're going to do alphabetical order, so it'd be Chance this week. Okay.
I'm terrible at praying.
So,
me too.
Let's do prayer.
Hey, you can't get better at something unless you practice, right?
Don't do a bunch.
All right.
6 is the max. Daddy,
what about no, it's 3.
We'll take 3 prayer requests.
Thank you.
All right. Who has a prayer? Yeah.
I have a prayer request.
What's your prayer request?
There were 6 girls at school today, and they got caught vaping.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently people think it's cool not only to vape in bathrooms, but to shotgun beers in bathrooms.
They are suspended from school.
Yeah, people in the high school are shotgunning beers in the bathroom.
What does that mean?
They're drinking beer.
Oh.
Between
okay.
the
bathrooms.
That covers both of them.
Yeah, alright.
They were in my grade.
I have a request for, basically my whole Dover school, because there has been, football has been canceled because of people getting quarantined, and all of that stuff. And there's just a bunch of people who's been getting quarantined and stuff. So it's like,
okay, I have a prayer request.
Okay.
Melanie's daughter, what's her name?
Is that how you spell quarantine?
Melody has COVID.
Oh.
She's got COVID. That covers that.
Alright, that's
all right.
Good. Somebody that we know named Melody has COVID.
Alright, we'll put Melody underneath here. Okay? Alright, Chance, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Lord, please let everybody have a good rest of the night, and please let everybody be safe going home. Please keep the people that are doing drugs in school to find their way not to, and just be smart with it, and help everybody that has COVID, and help everybody get better, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, I'm bad at that.
All right, thank you, Chance.
I'm bad at that.
Donald Trump, see you guys next week.
Oh, the colored paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me check that out.
I bet there's